Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Joining me today, we're both dressed like a couple of lumberjacks, and it's the middle of April in 27-degree weather. Jim Nickel, Rowan County Judge Executive. Jim, this is not spring. Who do we talk to in state government to get this fixed?
Well, I predict that July the 7th we'll have 2 inches of snow, Chuck.
Will you have any salt for the roads? That's the question.
This has been one for the books, that's for sure. The amount of cold weather and snow that we've had, it's really strained everyone.
I know Dan Conte was filling in for me yesterday. He spoke with Morehead Mayor David Perkins about the impact of the winter, the city budget in terms of what's been spent on road salt, what they've had to do to fix various things in the infrastructure like water pipes, overtime for crews out there fixing things or out there plowing or whatever. And I'll ask you basically that same question in terms of the county.
Well, of course, we used more salt probably – I'm going to guess somewhere, and I haven't really looked at the numbers, but I'm going to guess somewhere around 300 ton more, and that's after cutting back and just doing curves, hills, and those type things the latter part of the winter. Overtime was very exorbitant, but we budget for that. We put enough money in there if we have a bad winter to take care of that. But it's probably one of the, since the 8 years I've been here, this is one of the most expensive ones that I've went through. Still doesn't compare with things like floods and earthquakes and those type things, but it was pretty bad. But now we deal with all the aftermath, and those are the potholes and the damage to the roads that the salt and the freezing weather did. And we have some... So a lot of work ahead of us this spring.
Yeah, how bad are the roads? I know you've probably been out and you've had some of your guys who do that type of work out there and about checking how bad, in your opinion, are the roads.
We, you know, they're pretty bad. Some of them are. The problem that you have is older roads that have cracks and have some damage already where the water gets underneath the surface and then freezes and up comes big chunks and so it's pretty bad. We're doing some pothole patching now with what we call cold patch. The hot patch has not started yet. But we're trying to fill in the worst places, and then hopefully here in a few weeks start with the hot patch where we can do a little better job.
You've got to check a lot of miles when you talk about the roads here in Round County.
We do. People don't realize we have over 700 miles of road, 360 roads, about over 700 miles. So. And about 75-80% of those are surface, and the other are gravel, some of your back streets, back roads. So there's a lot of roads to maintain with the amount of money we get.
Jim, are some of the gravel roads in pretty rough shape as well?
It does. And, you know, people call in the winter whenever the snow and ice falls, and they want to know when we can get back and clean the road, the gravel road. Well... A lot of folks don't realize you can't plow a gravel road. It takes all the gravel off when you plow it, and then you're down to mud. So it's tough on gravel roads to clear those. You can't put salt on them. It just everything bottoms out and turns to mush. So those folks on gravel roads have to endure more than actually those who live on surface roads. But it's a tough process.
Family Dollar recently announced the fact that they'd be closing a number of stores. And we've talked here in the office about that, the impact possibly on the distribution center out there at the industrial park. I know they have been hiring. I guess there's, 400-plus employees that work there. But if you're closing stores, depending on where they are, I'm wondering if that could lead to cuts at the distribution center.
You know, Chuck, as we talked earlier, I don't have any numbers at all. I know our economic development director, Brett Traver, hasn't really gotten any information either. But Family Dollar is 26, 28 states, whatever it is. And this distribution center here only covers like 3 or 4 maybe at the most, some of those stores. So it really depends on where those small retail outlets are that they're going to close. If they're not in our area, maybe it won't affect us very much. But we should know something here in the next week, couple weeks or so, that where those are going to be and if they're going to affect our distribution center and those jobs there.
Is it frustrating, though, not to have that information available right now?
Well, it's not only frustrating to me, but it's also frustrating to employees because they like to know what their futures are and if they're going to be employed. And so it's tough. You know, we're really fortunate we don't have to go through a lot of that in this area, but, well, like your larger areas, but it's frustrating. I know it makes folks uptight. It would me. So, but as soon as we get that information, we'll get it out to everyone and let them know what we know.
I think it caught everybody flat-footed, the news that they would be doing all these closings, because it seemed like the company was doing well. And if you looked at the Moorhead News here recently, they'd been advertising for positions they were hiring out at the distribution center up until very recently here. So, I mean, this is something that comes as a shock.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things that makes me think that it's not going to affect our distribution center, because they're still hiring. They're still looking for employees. So I think the stores, the retail outlets they're going to close are just those, what they said, those locations that were not making money, that were not producing well. So, and you, corporations do that all the time. But I keep my fingers crossed that things will work out here, and it will not affect our facility we have out in the industrial park.
What's the latest on the plans for the building of the new regional jail?
We, Judge Fogle down in Odom County and I have become blood brothers through the session, as we are the two counties that have been approved for jail beds in our counties. And the law says that the Department of Corrections will fund the planning, the architect, in those services, and so we've been working to make sure that those funds are in there.
So far, so good on them?
So far, so good. Money's in the budget. Haven't heard yet, since the governor supposed to sign it today, I guess, today or tomorrow. Hopefully those funds are still there, and we can look at an architect here pretty soon.
I know that you continue you and other county officials continue to go out there and look for locations where you can build the jail. Have you been able to kind of finalize some, at least
a
few of them?
You know, Chuck, we've looked at several locations, and a lot of different folks have said, why don't you look here, look there. One of the politicians here recently said we need to look at the big dig out on 32 in the city, and I think, you know, when you have a financial institution who had to take back a project and offers to give it to somebody, a city or a county government, give it to them if they'll take it and finish the project, that sends up red flags to me everywhere. We've had estimates anywhere from $2 to $3 million just environmentally and to get the infrastructure there and to finish the thing. That's just totally not doable in this project. That's something private monies are going to have to get in there and finish that project. City and county governments can't do that. I know I've talked to the city folks. They say it's not doable financially, and it's not doable financially at the county. It's not a it's not a good location to look at for a correction facility. We do have two or three other places that we've kind of narrowed it down, I think, to three or four different places. Our next move will be to go out and actually look at some new facilities that have been built to kind of get an idea of what they look like and footprint that you're going to need to what will work to build the structure on. So it's continuing on. Hopefully after all these crazy elections, May 20th gets over, we can get on and with this project.
Well, trying to find a spot for the new jail has been I guess you could just call it a daunting process, hasn't it?
It has, and you know, if you put it someplace, everybody's not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be able to satisfy everyone. And people call it prisons, and they call it federal prisons. It's not. It's a county detention center. And again, I say if you go up and look at the one we have, it'll be like that, only bigger. Why are you going to build a new jail? Well, why do you want to keep murderers and robbers and rapists and all those folks off the street? You have to have a place to put them. And that falls on the county's shoulders. That's what the state law says, that the county shall provide those services. Doesn't say we may or can if we want to. Says we shall. We've talked about that before. It's something the county shouldn't be in, but it falls on our shoulders to do it, and we're trying to do that.
So I guess the idea of building a dome over the Big Dig is completely out then, huh?
As far as I'm concerned, it is, yes.
The step after that, I guess, after you wind up finding the site, then do things move pretty quickly, do you think?
I think it will. Once we get an architect and find a site, then you start looking at construction, design, those type things. So it should move fairly quick. We're still good till September of 16, I think, and that can fluctuate some if we need to. So I think it'll move fairly quick, though, once we find a location and get our design people in place.
I think, did we talk about site prep in terms of date? I mean, your goal there, was that early next year?
Early next year. That's where we hope to be.
So, I mean, this thing can turn around in a hurry. I think you probably wouldn't need about a year to build it?
A year and a half, depending on the weather, of course, depending on the design of the building and contractors, lots of things. You know, you always have run into problems, whether it be environmental or studies or whatever it may be. You know how that goes. But it should go fairly quick.
We've talked about the holding of other counties' prisoners and also perhaps more state prisoners. That obviously brings in more revenue to help pay for this thing. Is there any chance you might be able to hold federal prisoners? I know that brings even more revenue in.
Well, you know, the federal prisoners that we would hold would be just traveling through this county. We have the federal prison in Summit, just up the street, Boyd County, which is I think they have somewhere around 2,300 beds up there in that area. If you have someone that has to be brought back to state court that's in federal custody, they may stay there. But this whole project, this entire jail project, to make it work financially, you have to hold other inmates from other counties. There's no way around that. To make those payments and to make it financially feasible, you have to have interlocal agreements with other counties to do that. Menifee and Morgan and Bath and Elliott and Fleming, who do not have facilities. So for this to happen, that has to happen, and we have those things in place, and we have a plan and a study that says it will work.
Our guest today on the front page, Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel. We are going to step away on the program right now and come back with more after this.
I'm your host, Harry Frumkin, for this broadcast of Music of the Brooks performance of Bach's Passion According to St. John. Joining music director Jane Glover is soprano Yulia Van Doren, mezzo-soprano Christina Jabot, tenor Paul Agnew, and bass baritone Nathan Berg.
Music of the Baroque Holy Week Special, Good Friday at 10 a.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
Morales, Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel joining us today on the program. Jim, just kind of looking over some of the agenda from Tuesday's meeting, I saw that, again, you dealt with the old Allie Young Law Office.
Yeah, we've been talking about that the last two or three meetings, and as I said, we're trying to decide whether to forget that thing because it's in such shape, or give it, deed it back to the university, who actually owns it. They just deeded to us to see if the Historical Society could get the funds to maybe restore it, and that was 7 years ago. And nothing's, very little has been done. And so we gave them another 30 days. This is the last time where they were supposed to have had a plan from an architect or something to present to the court. Didn't do it. So my opinion, probably next month we'll deed it back to the university and who actually owns it to begin with. So it's just one of those things, takes a lot of money, and not a lot of folks are that interested in it.
I was going to say, it's a smaller building. It used to be a barber shop when I first moved into Morehead in the late 80s. How much would it take, any idea, to repair from a financial standpoint?
Well, I have no idea. Of course, you're when you're dealing with structures and trying to put it back in its original shape and original condition, it you run into a lot of money. And if you've ever had been involved with a restoration of a historical site, as they call it, it can run into a very expensive project.
Even for a little building like
that. Even for a little building like that. So, and I have went down there a couple times and looked around it. You can actually see daylight through the walls, through the around the floor areas, and so it's in bad shape. But I wish them luck in trying to find something. But more than likely, we will probably send that back to the hill here, as we call it.
Well, it's unfortunate, I guess, because as we look around, and not just in Rowan County, but other places, a lot of historical buildings are going by the wayside. It would have been nice, and maybe it can still be saved, but you just have that hope that maybe something works out.
So, and it's and of course that building was that wasn't the original location anyway. It supposedly it sat over on the courthouse lawn someplace, and they moved it over there. So, there's some thinking there. Is it really a historical site or not? But I'll let folks deal with that who know more about it than I do.
You and I were talking before the program about something in the sense that last night the state passed the road plan and road fund along with it, and so that's official. And as part of that, Rowan County for sure will be getting a project up on Route 32.
We actually met with – we had a stakeholders meeting the day before yesterday out at the KCTCS building, and went over the project, the first meeting. There will be this project, the design started last year, and it's going into this year. There are four different designs that they presented. Two are 45-mile-an-hour, what they call 45-mile-an-hour projects, 55-mile-an-hour, and two at 55-mile-an-hour projects. They're going to totally reline that road from Viking Drive all the way out to Hickory Point. It will be widening in some places, a total displacement of the road where it goes in a different direction. But we're talking about turn lanes for the schools out there, and then all the way out to Hickory Point. It will be, and I know the utilities and right-of-ways are supposed to be scheduled for 2016, construction for 2018. If you put everything together, the right-of-way utilities and design and the actual construction, you're talking $26 to $28 million project. So that here in the next 4 or 5 years, that should be a totally different look. We have a copy of these four alignments that they're initially looking at. I know the master down in that district took them with him from our physical court meeting yesterday to look at and show some folks. Should be back in my office here in a couple of weeks, so if anyone wants to stop by, I'll be glad to show them and explain to them what they're proposing. Just to give you a few how dangerous that road is, from 2009 to 13, they had 117 crashes on that road, fatality. 56% of those were like rear-ended, where you get hit in the rear, and 24% were just involved one car. this is just the start of this project, so there's going to be a total of 5 meetings. There'll be 3 stakeholder meetings and 2 public meetings. Of course, all those will be advertised and in the news media. As I said, the construction is scheduled to start in 2018. Before that, of course, you have right-of-ways and utility movements and all that. So it'll be a big project, but a much-needed project. If you've ever went out there in the morning trying to get into the schools out there, the traffic is back plumb packed past Coppers Hollow there where you turn in. So once this project gets done, that should take care of that problem.
And things have changed over the years. When I came here in the late 80s, you just had the high school up in that area. And since then, of course, Guardian has built its factory in that area. Now you've got the new middle school there, and you've got McBrayer Elementary there, and you have all these people trying to get to work or to school or whatever.
Plus you got 1,100 students at KCTCS campus.
That's right.
There. So you have basically 4 schools plus a large manufacturing facility there. So it is crazy in the mornings and afternoons. We're going to meet with the fire department and the school system. Was there, but we're going to meet with them to maybe give more right away closer to those buildings and where the turn lanes can go much further and relieve that pressure on that road out there. But it'll be a big project. It'll be exciting once it's done and hopefully help that entire area.
Do you think, though, in some ways it could help with economic development efforts out there?
Well, I think so, because we already have, of course, Guardian out there. There are lumber companies out there, several other things. So there's a possibility that could help. It's away from our industrial park. It's a different, maybe help with a different type of economic development, not necessarily manufacturing, but some other businesses.
I plan to make sure, though, that I retire well before they start that project, because starting it and completing it in between all that, if you think the traffic's bad now.
Yeah. Well, that was some of the things we talked about, is if how's that going to impact traffic through the construction process. If it's bad now, how's that going to affect it? And Stay says their go is to keep 2 lanes open at all times, so we'll see.
It's on another matter here that you dealt with, the ordinance relating to the erection and display of political campaign signs.
Yeah, it's a new ordinance. and I've been guilty over it over years myself. The entire countryside now is nothing but campaign signs as we go up and down the road. So I checked with other counties, done a little research, and decided to present this ordinance. We had the first reading yesterday, passed unanimously, that the erection of campaign signs cannot take place until 45 days before the election. It must be removed 10 days after the election, or that candidate will be faced with paying a fine of $10 per sign that the road departments have to go out. Right now, you have them 6, 7, 8 months in advance of an election. Most counties, this works. It's more of a gentleman's agreement also, like on private property, that these things won't go up. We put up with them for 45 days, and then they're gone. I think it's a good ordinance. Measures agree that it's a good ordinance. And so we'll have our second reading in May, and hopefully this will help campaign signs for 6, 8 months at a time.
You're not going to have to worry about that anymore.
I am not going to have to worry about that, Chuck.
Jim, thanks as always for being with us.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel on the program today. I'm Chuck Morales, host of Front Page. We'll see you next time.